Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this broadcast. Today we're continuing our trek through the Bible. We're in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 29. And it was told King Solomon that Joab fled. See, Adonijah was slain because wickedness was found in him. He was hatching a plot to take the kingdom from Solomon, which Solomon nips in the bud. Then he sends away one of the priests out of the temple that was with Adonijah and sends him to his own fields. So Joab hears about it, and it says that he went and caught hold on the horns of the altar. And it was told to Solomon that Joab fled unto the tabernacle of the Lord, and behold, he is by the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, saying, "Go, fall on him." And of course, that's the notice of execution, following the words of his father, otherwise, fearing for his own life. Nipping the plot in the bud, because apparently Joab was on it, but seeing that the plot had been discovered, that's the way it happens. So he goes, he says, "Go fall on him." So Benaiah came to the tabernacle of the Lord and said unto him, "Thus saith the king, come forth." And he said, "Nay, but I will die here." And Benaiah brought the king word, saying, "Thus saith Joab, and thus he answered me." And the king said unto him, "Do as he has said, and fall upon him, and bury him, that thou mayest take away the innocent blood which Joab shed from me and from the house of my father. And the Lord shall return his blood upon his own head, who fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, and slew them with the sword, my father David, not knowing thereof. To wit, Abner the son of Ner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa the son of Jether, captain of the hosts of Judah. Their blood shall be therefore return upon the head of Joab, and upon the head of his seed forever. But upon David, and upon his seed, and upon his house, and upon his throne, there shall there be peace forever from the Lord." So Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, went up and fell upon him and slew him, and he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. And the king put Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, in his room over the hosts. And Zadok the priest did the king put in the room of Abiathar. And the king sent and called for Shimei and said to him, "Build thee an house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and go not forth thence any whither. For it shall be that on the day that thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. Thy blood shall be upon thine own head." And Shimei said to the king, "The saying is good. As my lord the king has said, so will thy servant do." And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. And it came to pass at the end of 3 years that two of the servants of Shimei ran away to Achish, son of Maachah, king of Gath, and they told Shimei, saying, "Behold, thy servants be in Gath." And Shimei rose and saddled his ass and went to Gath, to Achish, to seek his servants. And Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. And it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. And the king sent and called for Shimei, and he said to him, "Did I not make to thee swear by the Lord, and protested unto thee, saying, know for certain the day that thou goest out, and walkest abroad any whither, that thou shalt surely die? And thou saidest unto me, the word that I have heard is good. Why then hast thou kept the oath? Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord, and the commandment that I have charged thee with?" And the king said moreover to Shimei, "Thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to, that thou didst to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head. And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. So the king commanded Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, that he died. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. Do things like that happen today? I was thinking during the break that someone could write a book. Yeah, a couple books, actually. We call it, you know, we have 1 Kings and 2 Kings here in the Bible. And do the research and do first presidents and second presidents. And, you know, as you go through the kings, you find out that there were a lot of wicked kings. And they did wicked things. And I'll bet you if we wrote a book, First Presidents and Second Presidents for here today in America, and we judge them the way God judged his own kings in Israel, the kings in Israel, his own nation, I'll bet you we would have something that's pretty much the same way, with a lot of the same goings-ons that in that book, if it were done from the Almighty's point of view. Of course, that would take a lot of research to do that. When you go through the kings, well, we kind of get a synopsis of most of the kings. You know, they did wickedly, and some of the wicked things they did, and then how many years they reigned. And there's some detail in some of the other books of the Bible, but, you know, that's pretty much what we have. So it would be an interesting thing to read if someone would do a chronicle like First Presidents and Second Presidents from the same type of view. Anyway, just a thought there. So now we're Solomon. The kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. He put down all of his enemies, and all of those men brought about the circumstances that for their own demise. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 1. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter, and brought her into the city of David, until he made an end of building his own house, and the house of the Lord, and the wall of Jerusalem round about. An affinity. He made an affinity with Pharaoh. I guess, is that friends? I don't really understand that, but this affinity was made, and he took the Pharaoh's daughter and brought her to the city of David. Now, this is perhaps part of the downfall of Solomon. We see it begins here right away with Egypt in exchanging wives. Now, for someone to come into Israel before, and as we see if you go throughout the Old Testament, the history of Israel that we have there, that when the children of Israel took wives of the other nations, and those wives didn't come in by faith, that the Almighty demanded, as a matter of fact, commanded the sons of Israel who had married those unlawful wives to put them away because they didn't come in by faith. And we have several examples of women and men that came in to Israel by faith. They joined the nation. See, because this was God's nation. This was the Almighty's nation. You know, the Almighty, Yahuwah. This was his nation that he established in the earth. And of course, they threw him off. They didn't want him as king anymore. They said, oh, let us have a king like this. So, you know how we are, fathers. Sometimes it's difficult for us to give in. And sometimes when our children grow up, we can't say no to them. We have to let them make their own mistakes. And so I see that's how the Almighty dealt with the children of Israel. And they said, oh, we want a king like the other nations. So he was grieved, yes. Even the prophet was grieved. As the Almighty said to the prophet, they haven't rejected you. They've rejected me from being king over them. And so he gave them Saul. He told them what Saul would be like, and he gave them Saul. And so we have this succession of kings. And most of them, I have to say, were wicked. Yes, when we get done with the kings here in the Chronicles, boy, oh boy, You know, it's just like any other nation on earth from this point on. There's some good and mostly bad. That's just the way it is. It's just like people. Some good, mostly bad. It's just like salvation. Some will be saved, but most will not. You know, wide is the way that leads to death, but, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. You know, many are called, but few are chosen. We have that wide disparity between those who choose right and those who choose wrong, those who choose the ways of the world and the things of this life, and those who choose the way of the Almighty that leads to eternal life. They are the few. We are the remnant. And that's why so few people can endure a Bible study. They'd rather listen to some babble mouth over on the other networks who just blah, 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 you know, and they say they're ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And they think they're smart, and all that knowledge puffs them up, but it's not the knowledge of the truth, because the knowledge of the truth is the truth that leads you to eternal life through the Messiah. Because remember, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. So Solomon, he made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house. And the house of Yahuwah, the Lord, the temple. He builds the temple and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. So people would sacrifice on the high places rather because there was no temple. And Solomon loved Yahuwah, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness. Thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, Yahuwah, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may be to discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, Because thou hast this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked for riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And you know, this is the truth. And I have searched this out myself. I say to all the young men and the old men, if you haven't devoured the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, the words of Solomon, you should. The Almighty put it in me as a young man, almost 40 years ago. when I started to read the Bible, when I got my first Bible. Yeah, that was about 40 years ago. And started reading it. And I started to read those Proverbs. And I have to admit, I can still remember it to this day. And I opened that book of Proverbs, and it was like, this makes absolutely no sense at all. This seems like a lot of nonsense to me. And it did. It was like reading, almost like reading a different language. But it wasn't a different language. It was English. It was old English, King James English, I have to admit. I was looking at the authorized King James Version. But that wasn't the problem. You know, a newer version was not going to help me. But I read those, and I could understand a little bit of it, but most of it just didn't make much sense at all. But what did make sense is that it told me, it said that it was about learning wisdom and understanding. And I thought to myself, and I should say that perhaps the Almighty wrote this upon my heart. Because when I read that these were words to make one wise, something burned into my heart. And I said to myself, I want to be wise. Seemed like a good idea to me upon reading that book. And so I started reading it. And you know, the Heavenly Father, I still couldn't understand most of it, but I just kept reading it. I get a little here and a little there out of it. And I wore out those pages in that book, Proverbs. You could tell where Proverbs was in my first Bible because the pages were frayed in it. My second Bible and my third Bible, too. I frayed those pages of Proverbs because I couldn't stop the heavenly. When I read that, it said words to make one wise. And I said, I want to be wise. And of course, who am I talking to? The Almighty. He burned it into my heart. And he answered that prayer because I wore those pages out. And I have to say, it seems like they didn't do it. You know, even though I wore those pages out through three Bibles, it seemed like it didn't do any good at all. When I look back, you know, at how bad off and what I did during those years and how often I went astray and how little understanding I had, it seemed like it didn't do any good. But now, it's different now. Now I see, I understand. The words make perfect sense to me. I'm glad I wore those pages out. It took a long time for that fruit, the fruit of that seed to grow. A lifetime, 40 years. Yeah. But here it is. Now it's a full-grown plant. You know, I see it. I understand it. It makes perfect sense to me. But I can still remember the first time I looked at that book and going, this makes no sense at all. And I can still read it today and look at it, and I can see how it made no sense and how someone coming upon it going, this makes no sense. This is nonsense. And most people just put it down. But just ask, just words to make one wise. Say, okay, well, if there's wisdom in here, I need wisdom. I want wisdom. I think that's a good thing. And see, the Almighty, he said, listen to what he said. Behold, I have done according to thy words. I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. You know what? You know what that says to me? That Solomon had wisdom and understanding like no man before him, and that there hasn't been one that arises after him. He's my teacher. I'm reading his book. And I'm not the only one. I know there are countless millions out there that have learned the wisdom of the Proverbs, the Ecclesiastes, the writings of Solomon, and even that other one, the Song of Solomon, which I haven't done in this run through the scriptures yet. So that'll be coming up. Picking back up here in Kings chapter 3, verse 13. I have also, so in addition, I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. This doesn't go before thee and after thee. There's going to be none among the kings like unto thee all thy days. If thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem, and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings, and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king, and stood before him. And one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass, the third day after that I was delivered, this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me. And while thy handmaid slept, and laid her in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give suck to my child, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman say, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son. So we have an argument here. Whose son is it? The living son is mine. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And you know what? We're going to pick this up after the break. The suspense. We'll be back in a few minutes.